Rutherford Issues with Brian Barrett on FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, and WGNSradio.com. We're Rutherford County's place to talk.
Back on Rutherford Issues from WGNS, AM FM, online, WGNSradio.com, and find our WGNS apps on your smartphone. You can listen to us anywhere you are. Talking today to Jo Vermulm. She is the Family Support Coordinator in Rutherford County for United Cerebral Palsy of Middle Tennessee, and we're going to find out all about the Family Support Program here today. And Jo, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. Thank you for coming in today to share some information. Tell us a little bit about what is the Family Support Program.
Well, Family Support is a state-funded program under the Department of Intellectual and Developmental Disabilities. Every county has a Family Support Program. The program in Rutherford County is facilitated by United Cerebral Palsy of Middle Tennessee, but we actually serve people with all kinds of developmental disabilities.
Oh, okay. So every county has one. It just depends on what agency happens to run the program in that county.
Right. In Davidson County, it's the ARC of Davidson County. In Williamson County, it's the ARC of Williamson County. I think Bedford County is Developmental Services. But there are different agencies in different areas. It helps people to be served more individually.
Okay, so let's kind of come down here to the Rutherford County level and give us some type of idea of the reach that you have here with the Family Support Program in Rutherford County.
Well, right now, so far this year, we've included 244 people in the program. These are people who have severe disabilities that are expected to be lifelong. We serve people who have autism, cerebral palsy, MS, spina bifida, traumatic brain injury, orthopedic impairments, neurological disorders, and a host of lesser-known severe disabilities. Mm-hmm. We look at seven main areas to determine to evaluate the severity of the disability. We look at a person's ability to manage their self-care. So that would be, can they brush their teeth, comb their hair, are those types of skills impacted? We look at language, learning, mobility, self-direction. That would be a person's ability to make decisions for themselves. We look at economic self-sufficiency. We look at capacity for independent living. Would this person be able to live alone without supports? Or do they need supports, either an attendant or, modifications in the home to make their home more accessible, that kind of thing. We also, like I said, we look at whether or not the disability is expected to endure for that person's lifetime.
Mm-hmm. You know, I find this amazing, and I shared with you before we went on the air with this, that my wife has cerebral palsy, and it's one of those things that, you're born with this, and she it's affected her since birth, of course, and I didn't even know about family support. So, that's to say that you're serving 244 individuals that really need that help, but there probably are many more that don't even know you're here.
Exactly. You hit the nail on the head. Family support is the only program under the Department of Intellectual and Developmental Disabilities that actually serves people with developmental disabilities. By that, I mean we're serving the population who has an IQ of over 70. Otherwise, the Department of Intellectual and Developmental Disabilities only serves people who have an IQ of less than 70. So there's a huge population of Tennesseans who are unserved by, who really need assistance. Their disability is severe, but they don't have that, IQ component that qualifies them for one of the other programs. Mm-hmm. So, it's certainly a big need. It's a very, very small program. We represent less than 1% of the DIDD's budget. So, we're really tiny, but we do a lot of good things with the little bit of money that they give us.
It really sounds like it. I can think of all of the things that I was fortunate to be able to do at my home to help my wife, like a ramp outside, to be able to get in and out of the house, to purchasing a motorized scooter and things of that nature that what if she did not have me, you know, as a support, you know, and that's where you come in here, right?
Right. We try to help families fill that gap. You know, services, items for people who have disabilities are exponentially more expensive. I mean, I'll just give you an example. Let's just say someone who has a disability has to have some dental work done. What might be a routine filling for you or I could, you know, involve an outpatient procedure for someone who has a severe disability. They may need, you know, some type of monitoring while they're under, or they might need some IV sedation or something. And, you know, that service that might cost you or I $150 is going to cost the person with a disability, you know, 10 times that.
Sure.
Easily.
Right. That's a great example, because you know, I'm able to hold my mouth open when a dentist is in there working and all that kind of thing. And of course, with cerebral palsy, and I know I'm talking a lot about CP, but that's, you know, what hits home. Mm-hmm. My wife is unable to do that because of the muscle spasms and things of that nature. So she has to have some additional help there in order to do what is routine. Sometimes it's very hard to even find those who are willing to work with those type patients.
Exactly.
So I guess you can help in that regard as well and steer us in some directions?
Well, formally probably not, but I think experience over time, you start to see patterns. In the community that I serve, we'll see, you know, a certain provider who, you know, is trusted and you know, serves our folks with disabilities. So, We try to make referrals when we can.
Well, it's called the Family Support Program. You're there to support families in whichever way is possible. We're talking to Jo Vermalm with United Cerebral Palsy of Middle Tennessee. She is the Family Support Coordinator here in Rutherford County. And again, just because you're with UCP doesn't mean that it's just for people with CP, and so I want to make sure that we share that, even though I'm sharing some personal experiences here because my wife has CP. You're talking about those who may have MS, spina bifida, brain injuries, all kinds of issues that are disabilities to that particular person. Let's go back to the Family Support Program. Tell us how it works from the get-go. Let's say I'm new and I'm asking you questions because I'm interested in the program.
Okay. Well, the first thing that we would do is we would get you an application. People can get an application from our website at www.ucpnashville.org, or people can call me, Jo Vermalm, at 615-796-3341, and I can send them one. Along with the application, applicants are required to submit documentation from a certifiable source of their specific disability. They also need to provide proof of residency in Rutherford County and proof of U.S. citizenship. Once I have those things, you know, we can look into a home visit and get in and meet the family and kind of determine what their needs might be. Program participants need to live alone or with family. We can't serve individuals who live in nursing homes or state-supported group homes or foster care. Once their application is received, it gets evaluated for eligibility, and that's where the home visit and my work comes in. And if it's eligible, it will be reviewed by the local council. One of the neat things about family support is there's a lot of consumer input. And we have a local council of volunteers. There are 8 individuals in Rutherford County who very generously give of their time to help make allocations for people. They don't actually see the names of the applicants, but they review the case and you know, they determine the funding for people. They also they consider special requests and they establish priorities and guidelines for the program. And I will also mention that those individuals who serve on the local council, they have a background either professionally or personally in a disability-related field. We have some parents, we have some, you know, speech provider, we have a nurse, we have just some really very very highly qualified people who mm-hmm. understand people's needs. Sometimes they'll point things out to me that maybe I don't recognize, or they'll make a good case for an individual because of their personal experience. They'll recognize different things that folks need.
So we're not talking about a program that is supplemental income for a family with disability.
Oh, no.
You're talking about helping with specific needs.
Exactly. We only reimburse for disability-related needs. So, and that's another good point to make, too, that this program works on a reimbursement basis. When people get in the program, they're not just given a check. They have to submit receipts. After they're included in the program, we sit down together, and based on what they tell me, we create a service plan, and that might include things like, we look at what their needs are, and, mm-hmm. and for a person who has autism, their service plan might include behavior therapy. It might include medical costs and respite care. A person with MS or cerebral palsy might have completely different needs. They might need medical costs, they might need help with special equipment, and they might need help with transportation. So, you know, we create a plan, and from that plan, folks are allowed to submit receipts. So some of the other things we can help people pay for could include, like, nursing care, therapies, family counseling. Many school-age children with disabilities utilize their funding to pay for summer camp, which is really important so that kids keep their skills and hopefully gain new ones during those big gaps from school. We've helped people get conservatorships as they transition into adulthood. Those are very much very expensive and very much needed. But people, when they incur those expenses, they can submit their receipts and they get reimbursed. There is a receipt for every penny of family support money that is disbursed. And I think that that's really important for people to understand. Nobody is getting rich off of family support. Our allocations are small, typically around $1,000 annually, but some of them are smaller than that. It's based on need, and it's also based on the ability of the availability of our funding.
Well, let's kind of talk about that. We're talking, by the way, with Jo Vermalm. She is the Family Support Coordinator for Rutherford County, and we're talking about the Family Support Program, which is a statewide program. It's part, and as you mentioned at the onset here, it represents like 1% of the budget for the state in developmental, intellectual and developmental disabilities. But I would think that with any state project or with any with any program that's funded with state money, that it's always under the microscope this time of the year when you're looking at budgets.
Oh, yeah. We're subject to two audits annually. We have a fiscal audit, and we also have a program audit. And then, well, I should say maybe even three audits, because then we have an agency audit as well. So we're very, very careful with the money. We're careful with it not just because of the audits, but we're also careful of it because we've got a very, very limited amount of funding. And we need to stretch those dollars as much as we can to serve as many people as we can. Funding is always a challenge. We always receive more requests than we have funding. So we're continually looking for grants and fundraising opportunities. We would love to develop partnerships with some charitable foundations in Rutherford County. In years like this one, where the state revenues are down, departments are asked to make cuts, and we're in a bind right now. Family support is small, like we've discussed, and the DIDD has eliminated family support from its budget for the 2014-15 fiscal year. We're waiting to see if Governor Haslam will add it back into his budget. But if he doesn't, we will be rallying our senators and legislators to offer a budget amendment. This program is very well liked.
Well, it's not only just well liked, it's necessary for some of the
yes.
families. Or if the need is there and they come to you and you're talking about, you know, less than 250 here in the county, there are more disabled and intellectually disabled folks here in Rutherford County
right.
that could use these services. So if you're helping that many, the need is here.
The need is definitely here. But I was going to make the point that, you know, the program is liked by our legislators. They've been very, very supportive of family support in Rutherford County. Senator Tracy, in particular, has been one of our greatest allies. We've had warm responses so far this year from Representative White and from Senator Ketron. They both promised me that they would be watching this and you know, be on alert if we don't get included in the governor's budget. You know, it's not a partisan issue. You know, disability doesn't know liberal or conservative. Disability happens, and it affects so many families. I think I saw a statistic that the other day that it was staggering just how many families have been affected, have some member of their, you know, immediate family who's affected by a severe disability.
Well, even in our small, and I shared this with you a moment ago, even in our small radio business here, this small station of, you know, just a handful of employees, there are two of us here that have a loved one with a disability. Mm-hmm. I mean, and that's just a small sampling. I'm sure if you broaden that out, we'd be really surprised at that number.
Right. You're exactly right. You know, the fact, though, is that the money's there. You know, it's what they choose to spend it on. And, you know, they're going to spend the money on something, and we really want to encourage them to spend it on family support.
Well, it sounds like it's one of those things you can look down the budget and say, this is a small part of the budget here. Maybe this is something that we can trim our budget with.
Right. You know, and that happens. I think that they think because we're small, you know, we'll go away, and it serves 244 people, and those people, you know, maybe they won't feel it so much, but what they don't realize is this is the population that's really going to feel the loss of a critical program like family support.
Would it be helpful to contact our state lawmakers, the districts around Rutherford County here, and let them know, hey, I'm concerned about this?
Absolutely. That would be tremendously helpful. You know, their contact information can be found on the state's page for the legislature. You know, and they love to hear from folks. They really do. They like to hear what people in Rutherford County want their money spent on. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, let them know that you want your tax dollars to be spent on, you know, keeping individuals with disabilities in their homes living independently rather than in nursing homes, which are exponentially more expensive.
Joe, as we wrap up here, I want to give you the opportunity. We've got like 30 seconds or so, but give you the opportunity here to share your contact information. If someone has questions about the family support program, wants to find out more about the program, wants to talk about the challenges monetarily that face the program this year because of the state budget, how can they get in touch with you?
Well, people can email me. It's probably best to call me, though, because my last name is kind of hard to spell, and that's my email address, and it always gets misinterpreted. So my phone number, my work phone, is 615-796-3341. And I would love for people to leave me a message so I can get some applications out. We do have a waiting list right now, but it's a good thing to apply and get on the waiting list. Every year we start over, so everyone has to reapply. And it helps to get on the waiting list. It helps to show our legislators that there really is a tremendous need for this program.